This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Saints are taking on the Buccaneers Sunday at noon in the Superdome, and calling that game, like all of the games here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network and WWL, is the voice of your New Orleans Saints, Mike Haas. Mike, how you doing on this Friday?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I know we're going to be talking some Saints, but I gotta chime in. So
Every guest I've had this show wants to talk about gumbo before. All right, go ahead.
Right. I will eat gumbo all the time, but I'm a big gumbo cook, and I am not cooking gumbo until it's colder. Not a cool front. It's got to be colder. It's about cooking. I am turkey and andouille. Andouille's got to be from Laplace. You pick your place, and I kind of agree with you from a roux standpoint. Just remember, the darker your roux, the less viscosity that you have in the roux, and so you don't have that thickening agent. So you want to find the fine line between a thicker roux, which I like, a thicker gumbo, or maybe a thinner roux that might be darker. So
it's about the viscosity.
Yeah, it is for me.
All right, so maybe a light brunette or a dark blonde.
Right, and then, you know, sometimes, here's what I do. If my roux is, thick like I like it, but it's not the right color, add a little kitchen bouquet, boom, your gumbo is the perfect color.
The chef's little helper, the kitchen bouquet, makes it look right but still have the viscosity that you're aiming for. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. All right. And you're using turkey instead of chicken, and you're getting that andouille specifically from Laplace.
Oh yeah, you got to get your andouille from Laplace. There's a battleground in Laplace on andouille, and I don't like to. It gets fierce, so I don't want to get too deep into it.
Competition is good for our bellies, no doubt about it. There, all right. Rice, potato salad, both.
You know, I'm new to the potato salad thing. My wife loves it. I'm rice typically. When I'm in the river parishes, I will do the potato salad, because that's what they do, and I like it. And there's another thickening kind of agent to it. But typically I'm rice, but I'm certainly not opposed at all to the potato salad.
All right. That increases the viscosity, just to keep that, that thread going through things. All right. And hot sauce?
Only if it needs it. If I'm putting hot sauce in it, it means that maybe it hasn't gotten the flavoring that I typically want. You shouldn't have to. This is a personal opinion, but if you like it like that, that's fine. You know, Tabasco or Crystal, your choice. But I'm like, if I put a lot of hot sauce in it, then I messed up my gumbo somewhere.
To you, when it comes to gumbo, hot sauce is like ketchup. It's just used to cover the flavor. All right. I do like a little Louisiana or Crystal. I love Tabasco, but not in my gumbo. So there is that. All right, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Now that everyone's starving to death, let's talk about the Saints.
Yeah. Although, can we keep talking about the gumbo? This has been much more fun.
The Saints have not been a good gumbo the last three games, no doubt about that. And so many question marks about what ingredients are even available to throw into the Saints gumbo for this Sunday against the Buccaneers. One thing we do know is that there's going to be a brand new quarterback who's never started a game in the NFL or for the New Orleans Saints under center on Sunday.
We do, Spencer Rattler. And so I was just talking to Doug Thornton, the executive vice president here in the hallway. He actually played quarterback at Louisiana Tech. And, you know, the thing is, we, you know, the Saints and fans, we don't know. But guess what? Neither does Tampa. They don't know what they have in Spencer Rattler. And so, you know, everybody's got to face a rookie at some point. Tampa Bay, this will be their third rookie they have faced already this year in six games with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. So they're somewhat used to it. It's not a slight, I don't think at all, to Jay Kaner. I think they've both been very you know, competitive. I think the difference is that you've had a week to prepare, whereas Spencer was your emergency third, and when you had Carr in, and Hayner was your number two, because you felt like Derek went down during the game. Jake is probably the guy that you would turn to. He's been in
to keep that longer. Game plan going that was made right. for Carr, yeah.
But if you've got a week to prepare, now you're picking, and obviously, what they feel is the best guy that gives them the best chance of winning. There are not miles between Jake Hayner and Spencer Rattler. They are very, very both competitive, very similar, you know. So, but they just felt like Spencer gave them the best chance to win
in this game. And, you know, I think it's also, at least from the fan perspective, and I know the coaches don't put a whole lot of stock in what fans think about personnel decisions and things like that, but from a fan perspective, we've seen this wave of excitement about Spencer Rattler, and I think that it may be related to the fact that we're seeing other mobile rookies have a lot of success across the league this year, and when you, particularly when you look at what's happening in Washington with Jaden Daniels, but there are other examples. I think that there's just a sense that, hey, could we have that guy too, this rookie who can run and who can get out of the pocket and make things happen? Maybe, just maybe, this is a, particularly with the banged up offensive line, maybe this is an opportunity for the Saints to make something happen.
Yeah, I would say there's some validity to that, especially when we see how mobile quarterbacks have done against the Saints defense, right? We've unfortunately seen that side of it, and it's been, you know, a long, long time since you've really had a quarterback back there that can have those kind of wheels. Now, Jameis could run, didn't really want to, so that was different. And you know, let's remember, you go to any NFL city where things are not going well, we love the backup. We love number two. And in this city, right or wrong, people's opinions are people's opinions, and they can have them. You're either a pro Derek Carr or an anti Derek Carr. There are very few people in the middle, right? And so that's just kind of the way it is. For whatever reason, that's their choice. And so you put all those things together, that's what you got. You got an excitement about a Spencer Rattler who can move in the pocket, has that ability. The funny thing is kind of really they spent Irvine in training camp trying to get him kind of out of that mode, get him out of not being your first thought process to pull it down and run. We know you can do that, right? You know, stay in that pocket, that half a beat more, get the ball out of your hands faster. That was, a big deal in Irvine for him. But really, we know you can run. Let's see how we can do in this system, passing the football, because in this system, as Derek has said, the first four or five steps by the quarterback, the defense shouldn't know whether it's a run or a pass. It's the zone, running wide option. So we'll see. He has not had a ton of snaps. He's been your emergency third quarterback. He has not had a ton of snaps until this week since Irvine. And so there's a lot there to get done this week. And he hasn't been handing off to Taysom, and he hasn't really been handing off to Alvin. He hasn't been doing a lot of the stuff because all those guys are hurt.
Yeah, and so I hope folks temper their excitement, because there's a lot more going on with the Saints right now than just an injury to Derek Carr at quarterback and just the play of Derek Carr at quarterback. So much else goes into it. But I will tell you, I am glad to see that at least there is some kind of renewed sense of enthusiasm and excitement in the Houdat Nation that maybe, just maybe, Spencer Rattler can be a difference maker and bring a new spark to this team. And I'm hopeful that that will be the case.
You know, me too as well, just to get that, because you want the crowd. The crowd's going to be important on Sunday, very important. This Tampa offense, we've spent the entirety of this conversation talking about the Saints offense, and to me, really, I feel the outcome of this game is going to be decided on how well the Saints defense does against Tampa's offense, because that is, if Tampa continues what they're doing, and they've been playing really, really good football, and they're healthy, and they're coming in rested. Now, they've had the hurricane to deal with. God bless them on that and what they've had to deal with, and we're all in that. We understand those concerns.
Yeah, been there over and over, sadly.
But,
yeah.
Right. They've been here practicing. They played, a Thursday ago against Atlanta. I mean, they're healthy. They're playing well. So I feel like this Saints defense has to be the one to dictate the action. It just can't be, and we held them to 20-some points. I think this defense is going to need a pick six, a turnover, score themselves. It cannot be a track meet, right? It cannot, right. Even though the Saints are averaging 28 points and the Buccaneers are averaging 25, a lot that Saints 28 is based on the first two games. And so a track meet, in my estimation, is not going to behoove of the Saints because not sure if they can keep pace with a Buccaneer offense that is playing so well.
Well, what we've seen a pattern in these three losses the Saints have had, in that the defense has played for the vast majority of the game extremely good football, particularly in the red zone, forcing field goals rather than touchdowns. And they've been able to really stymie some very good offenses, including last week in Kansas City. But the offense has contributed very little and has not spent a lot of time on the field. And it seems like these close losses the Saints have had come at the end of the game when the defense is just gassed from spending way too much time out there and not being able to get that crucial stop at the end.
Right. You can lay that on either side of the football. Totally agree. The defense has played well, but they have not come up with the play when they could have in Philly, Dallas Goedert, in Kansas City, Juju Smith-Schuster, Atlanta. They have not come up with the play to close out the game. Now, as you said, it's a little unfair to put that on the defense alone, but as a team, you have not been able to close out the last three games. And I say, well, how can you include Kansas City in that game? Because when the Saints scored in the fourth quarter, and had they made the extra point and it's 16-14, you got a different football game. Mm. But then almost, which has been the MO of late, Tyrann Mathieu falls down, Juju Smith-Schuster gets a 50-yard gain. I mean, just in an instant, you went from the momentum being on your side to them being able to score and go back up,
help over the top. So once the Honey Badger goes to the ground, there's no one there, and yeah, that blows the game wide open.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was a big, but yet I still feel you had a chance to close out that game when you made it 16-14. The pressure was then on Kansas City, but it wasn't on Kansas City very long because they were able to score so quickly. I mean, so you got a guy falling down in the middle of the field, one of the best players, veteran, played in the stadium. And in Philadelphia, you got a safety running into two guys, takes out three guys. I mean, it's kind of just this weird, perfect storm of things that happens. In the end, it doesn't matter, right? When we're talking about December and January and playoffs and tiebreakers, I mean, these three games, one of them being Kansas City, fortunately, is an AFC game. But I just feel like unless things can get righted pretty quickly, that we're going to be talking about Philly and Atlanta as games they should have won and games that could prevent. We are week six. Let us not get too far ahead, but could prevent come back to haunt this team. Now you can play your way out of it. You win your next two games, and it's a different ballgame because the back end of this schedule is nothing like the front end of this schedule.
If there's ever a must win in week six, I guess this is as close as you get. But interestingly, the line on this game, the odds makers, even before they knew if Derek Carr was going to be playing, and even after Spencer Rattler was announced as the starting quarterback, they have kept the Saints as underdogs in this game, regardless of any of that information, feel like the Bucs have the advantage no matter who is playing quarterback for the Saints.
Yeah, that was surprising just to me that it started there. I think it was 3.5 or somewhere in that realm, and you just don't see that too often. Saints are 2-3. They're 3-2, so you're not talking about, a great disparity. But to have an NFC South division rival be favorited in your building is jarring. And I think that's probably been mentioned a few times in Metairie at Saints camp, just because You just don't, you don't like to see that. I don't think that, I mean, I think Tampa's playing better right now. I don't think Tampa's a better team per se. But from a health standpoint, I mean, in the last 3 weeks, you go back to the Atlanta game, even the Philly and Atlanta game, Atlanta had one guy on their injury list on Wednesday. The Saints had 13. Now, that was Caleb McGarry, ended up not playing. But they had, you know, to have the numbers of players that are injured on the Saints team right now, and unfortunately at positions, right, linebacker, offensive line, has been very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And not much has changed with the injury report this week. The Saints are still going to be very banged up going into Sunday's game. Mike, we appreciate your spending the time with us. I hope that the odds makers are wrong and many of the predictions are wrong, and that the Saints, with the spark from Spencer Rattler and preparing for this Bucs team, can pull off the upset. Will it be cool enough tomorrow for you to make the gumbo on National Gumbo Day, or are you going to just go and get somebody else's gumbo tomorrow?
No. I feel like next week when the front comes through is a better opportunity. Tomorrow's a little too soon. I'm not mentally prepared. I don't have the ingredients, and so yeah, I'm gonna have to wait till the next cold front.
All right. Well, make sure you get that viscosity right. He's Mike Haas. Right. He's the voice of the Saints. He'll be back at 4 o'clock with Fans in the Pro with Deuce McAllister today, and of course you'll hear him Sunday calling the game right here on WWL with a noon kickoff from the Superdome. Mike, thanks for joining us, and enjoy that gumbo wherever you get it tomorrow.
You bet. You too, my friend.
All right. Mike Haas here on WWL. More of your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 about gumbo, about the Saints, and or about the LSU Tigers, or anything else you want. During the noon hour, I like to open up the buffet to a potluck. You can bring whatever you want to the table, and we'll talk about it. We'll also get the voice of your LSU Tigers up next to preview this top 10 matchup in Death Valley, celebrating 100 years of Tiger Stadium after this.